This is Harry Murray at Murray's Flash Shop in Edinburgh, Virginia. This is our podcast for the month of July. I'm going to talk about the trout and the bass, showing you what we're doing, why, the flies at work, the techniques at work, and then kind of extrapolate as to what I think will be going on throughout the month of July. Early August, we'll bring you up to date on that. And, of course, mid-month every year, every month, we're doing a little podcast on questions and answers that you send me. All right, we have had rain running out our ears, that everybody knows. But what this has done is created some outstanding trout fishing in the mountain trout streams. And most of our trout streams throughout the state, to be perfectly honest. The problem with the trout fishing now is that these fish, especially in the no-kill area and the heavily fished areas, these fish have been fished over so much that they know the flies in your box as well as you do. They become what I call fly wise, and we want to show them something has a different silhouette. Simply switching from an Adams to a March Brown to a Lake Cahill, if you really think about it, or get underneath and look at them, all of those flies are producing somewhat the same little light pattern, meniscus type footprint on the surface of the stream. I hit this first many, many years ago in the Pennsylvania streams because I was fishing streams that were popular and were receiving a tremendous amount of pressure. But the fish were really very selective as to what they would take. So I thought maybe if I could create a different fly that produced a different light pattern on the surface, that I might be able to fool some of these flies. So working with a pattern that we've come to call the Murray's housefly, in which I incorporated down wings on the side of the fly's body. It's a housefly, but it has its wings out on the side that rest on the surface. Well, obviously, this is an entirely different light pattern than what they're accustomed to seeing. Well, it came out smelling like a road. I had no idea it was going to be as good on those tough Pennsylvania streams as it was. So I brought it back to Virginia, did real good success with it. And then several years ago, this opened the door to what I call our change of pace flies. There are a series of flies that I put into this group that match the natural foods on the streams from now all the way into fall. This is good from now right up to October, November. So I developed these flies, and I'm going to show you a little bit about how we fish them. The oak worm came about sort of as a fluke. Ron Comer had developed these things with one time we called corkers and sometime one time we called mini worms and all. They were basically little bugs tied out of cork, and we just painted them green with a black tummy around the middle. But anyway, I was fishing a corker, and I'd caught so many fish on it, they had pretty much chewed all the paint off of it. Well, I was fishing kind of up and across stream, and I made the cast too long and stuck on a log on the far bank. So I was too tight to break it off, so I waded over, pulled it off. When I pulled that little corker off that thing, I stripped off a piece of the bark. Well, out from under that bark rolled dozens and dozens of oak worms. Well, these looked like my chewed up fly, and I realized that these trout had been feeding on those oak worms. And so then we developed a dry oak worm that is now being used on that. Now, the yellow jacket is an entirely different looking fly. I found out about this one the hard way also. I was going down over the side of the stream to get down to fish, and I wasn't being observant about where I was putting my fish, and I stepped right on a yellow jacket nest, and they came rolling out there like gangbusters, and I actually had to jump in the stream to get away from them. So I realized if there were that many yellow jackets along these streams, it would be a worthwhile pattern to create. Now, this is highly visible. If you want to do something that you're running out of light in the evening and you can't see it, get the yellow jackets. You're going to fish them close to the bank. I usually fish them upstream dead drift. You can impart a slight twitch to them if you want to and just experiment and see what works. The horsefly, obviously these are really flies that are around the cattle and the horses. Where we use these more on the meadow streams, where there are a lot of horses and cattle along the stream, you just fish them tight to the bank, usually with a dead drift. Now, I'm still in my change of pace flies. These are flies that they probably haven't seen that many of. The wasp, we have oodles of wasp in our mountain freestone streams, and they do bite and they do sting. So what I did was develop a pattern that would match these wasps, and they're on from right now into fall. Fish them upstream, dead drift. I tend to do best under the overhanging tree limbs and along the banks with these. And I fish all these on 6X too, by the way. The moth, the Murray's moth in there, it is really a very nice moth pattern. You can easily see it, which is great because a lot of times the moths are more active late in the evening. Back eddies, you'll often see some moths back there riding round and round until the drought comes up and sip them in. So the moth is very effective, and the back eddies, the corners of the pool, fish them with a little twitching action like a moth would create. So these are the change of pace flies that I use now. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with digging up a light Cahill that you did well with in the spring. If they'll take it, go for it. But if they don't take your standard pattern, try these change of pace flies. I'll be glad to show you how to tie all of them if you want to give them a try. Okay, now let's switch over to the bass. The bass streams are full right now. The North Fork is in beautiful shape. South Fork still carrying quite a bit of water. The James is high. The New is high. But these will drop down quickly. They're talking about a few storms coming in, but I don't see anything there that's going to mess us up. Now, as these streams clear, it's what I call falling waters. It's what I used to fish the Smith on. When we're getting this falling water, many of these fish are much more gullible than they would be in normal crystal clear water. We've got two things going on here this year. It was here last year in greater numbers than I've ever seen them, and I'm talking about the number of crayfish we've got in the river and the number of hellgramites we've got in the river. The crayfish are there in huge quantities. I had a class out just a few days ago. One of our instructors in that class was showing the boys how to fish the Murray's crayfish using an upstream dead drift tactic, and got in, this boy's been guiding now for many, many years for me. He got into a smallmouth that was well over 5 pounds. He did not bring it to hand, but it got off right at his feet. And later in the class, somebody got into some over 3 pounds. Now, if you don't know what swing nymphing is, what we're doing here, we're casting up and across stream at about a 45-degree angle. You do not mend anywhere in that. Don't get mending in your mind because you'll screw up the works. Up and across stream, 45-degree angle, 20, 30-foot cast. Let it sink down deeply. Now, watch these SA indicators. You're going to have two SA indicators on your bright butt leader. Use those indicators in this case to see when you have good depth. Now, I'm talking about fishing water that might be 4 to 6 feet deep right out in front of you. Once that thing sinks deep, which you can tell by watching your indicators, let it roll right along the bottom, and you're swinging your rod tip downstream ahead of it. I'm sitting here at my desk, sticking the rod up in the air 45 degrees out over the stream and swinging that down at the same rate the fly is drifting. What this does, it gives you good control over that drift. It lets you feel the strike, not see it now. You're going to feel that strike the soon as the bass picks it up, and you can set that hook quickly. So that is one very, very effective way to fish the crayfish. Now, Jeff and I were floating the river not too long ago, and I got to our takeout, and I was a little bit ahead of him. So I was sitting on the bank just waiting for him, and the sun was below the horizon, and it was getting close to dark. And I was sitting over some boulders that were old tennis ball up to basketball size, and just happened to look down in the stream between my feet, crayfish running around everywhere. Now, a good way to fish that, these guys get active in low light level. Now, it could be dusk, could be dawn, could be slightly dust-colored water. Get out in the river, say 40 feet out from the bank. I use the Scientific Angler Sonar Sink Tip 3 line. That's the first 10, 15 feet. Sinks probably 5 to 6 inches per second. I cast in toward the bank, let it get down deep, and then strip it out about 6 inches every 5 seconds to swim that crayfish away from that bank, just like a real crayfish would dart to get away from you, me, or a bass. Swim that thing out about, 10, 15 feet off the bank, take a little step downstream, shoot it back in against the bank, and then swim it out, swim it out, swim it out. That is a very, very effective way to fish this Murray's crayfish. And I've just never seen this many crayfish in my life. So take advantage of that. We're still doing real well with the Shenandoah Blue Popper in a size 4 or 6 fishing against the shaded banks. Now, if you got a shaded bank and muddy water a foot deep, forget about it. But if you've got a shaded bank, water, say, 3 to 6 feet deep over cobblestone bottom, those bass are going to be feeding along those heavily shaded banks all day long. Shoot those poppers back there. Try to play them close. Now, here you may want to mend them, do whatever you need to do to keep that popper as close to the bank as you can. Fish it out 10 feet, pick it up, shove it downstream about 5 feet again, right back as close to the bank as you can get it. And fish them out with a slow, just kind of a pop, slow type of motion. But that is very effective. Many people in our schools catch most of their bass in this way, because once you learn to control it along that bank, it's really very easy fishing, and we catch some of our biggest bass with these blue poppers. So if you have any questions on that, I'll be glad to help you. We still have openings in almost all of our smallmouth schools, half day or full day. So if you want to get in those, give us a ring, talk to Rhonda, talk to me. We'll be glad to help you. By the way, I forgot to tell you, I'm fishing all of these bass flies on the 9-foot 2X Bright Butt leader. Now, on that sinking tip the line, I do go down to our 6-foot 2X fluorocarbon sinking leader. That helps you get them down quicker. But other than on the sinking tip line, I'm using our 9-foot 2X Bright Butt leader across the board. If you have any questions on any of this, give me a ring at 540-984-4212. Thank you very much.